Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this near weekend. It feels like the weekend, though. Hey, there's the NFL's getting started. I mean, Auburn has left heading west. A lot of Auburn fans have already left heading west for the Auburn-Cal game. So, might as well say the start of the weekend here as we welcome you into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Yes, the regular crew here on this Thursday. Now, we're missing our usual third here behind the mic on Thursdays. That's because Justin Ferguson should be in the Atlanta airport, right? Should be at Hartsfield International right now.
Yeah, I think Justin's going to do a lot of traveling alongside Nathan and Jason.
Yes, what Jason said. They got him the flight so that they could all be traveling together.
Yeah, so they'll be in. I think Justin is going to be able to check in with us tomorrow during the show at some point as he enjoys his Northern California adventure with Auburn playing in Berkeley this weekend. But yeah, Justin today. It's a travel day. He's going to go to most of the road games. So I think we may have there could be Thursdays or Fridays. You never know when Justin might make his appearance. I think he's going to be able to do Thursdays for most of the home games.
He's doing what now?
He's traveling to most. I think he's traveling to every Auburn road game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This year. So.
Yeah, so, most of those. Well, none of them are going to be as long as this one.
No. Auburn rarely plays a game.
A&M is the next longest, and then
it's been about 20 years since Auburn played a road game this far away.
Oh yes,
right? Los
it's
Angeles.
Been a while.
I mean, Los Angeles was 2002.
Well,
when were they in the Carrier Dome?
2001.
That was 2001. Okay, so there are a couple of them.
It was the year of 9/11.
Early in the century, Auburn played a couple of road games like this, but they went to Penn State 2 years ago.
We went up there.
Yeah, you made that trip as well. But so yeah, Justin's going to go to the road game. So I think we're going to have Justin at home, Auburn at home. Justin plays. Justin's going to be here on Thursdays when Auburn is on the road. He might skip. He might call us on Thursday, depending on the travel. He might call us on Friday. It depends on the road
now
game, so.
Because the other road trips, A&M, LSU, Nashville.
So you've never been to Auburn A&M in College Station, is that right? And you're making that trip?
No, I mean I've had there've been like things going on that I couldn't get away.
For some reason I thought you had checked every SEC stadium.
No, that's
your list.
It.
Have you been to Missouri?
Yes.
Oh wow, okay. So this is it. This is the last one on the
until Texas and Oklahoma join.
Have you been to a game at either of those stadiums before?
Okay, no, I have not.
So you'll check in the next decade, hopefully.
Yeah.
You'll check Texas.
Well, I'm sure the SEC schedule will allow for that at least once every 4 years.
Right, but you're going to College Station later this month.
I'm gonna head out on Thursday, as a matter of fact. We're heading out Thursday.
I don't want to make any promises. I might go. I mean, I found some cheap hotel rooms in Houston.
A&M?
Yeah, there's some. The hotel rooms in Houston are still cheap. Like now, that's a massive city.
Oh yeah.
So I was saying like staying in College Station feels like you would probably need to book well in advance because I don't know how large or how many accommodations they have in the immediate area. But I know people stay in Houston and make the trip for the game. So I may shoot for that. So yeah, but that'll be a fun trip. Auburn Cal coming up on Saturday night. How you feeling, Bill?
I feel like it's probably going to be a pretty tight game. I wonder if that's the way Jay Knott feels. I think he feels like Cal's being disrespected, which sort of then feels like Auburn gets disrespected from Mr. Ott.
I watched watched most of the Cal North Texas game again today, and at least Cal's offensive possessions. And the, you know, I came away feeling better about Auburn's chances after watching it. Cal played really well offensively, but I mean, from the moment North Texas takes the field, they seem small and slow. And
that's not a great combination.
No, but you watched some of the clips, Bill.
Yeah, and, I did.
Tackling in the run game was
They didn't use their arms very much.
I mean, I would say I've seen I've seen people given Fs for worse, you know, for better, I should say. So yeah, that's a you know, I mean, because Auburn played an overmatched opponent too, so it's not just about week one. But Cal had success against a thoroughly overmatched North Texas defense, and then watching North Texas on offense in that first half, a couple times where Cal went man on man down the field with North Texas's receivers and got cooked. I mean, there were a couple of plays where North Texas was able to complete.
One, they just ran right by one of the corners.
Yeah, no, and a one even a more similar. The touchdown was even worse. I mean, he just had the guy from the moment he left the from the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this is a. And this is a game. It's still I expect a close game, and
so
I still think it's going to be. I think it would be really encouraging, regardless of the result. I think a close game leaves a lot on the table the rest of the season, even if Auburn loses it. You know what I mean? Like a close competitive game here.
I don't know. An Auburn loss here feels like you're really battling to get bowl eligible. I think.
I mean, I think that I would want to see them in conference, you know, a couple of times. But I think
unless we find out Cal's a whole lot better than we.
Yeah, I mean, if Auburn were to lose a close game here, I don't know if it bursts that many bubbles. At the same time,
well, I think it bursts an awful lot of bubbles.
You think?
Yeah,
even if Auburn were to lose, like, I mean, you're a 6.5 point favorite.
If they lose this one, are you confident they're going to win in College Station? You play Georgia 2-2.
Okay, but if Auburn wins this game at the buzzer with a field goal, do you feel a whole lot better? Confident that they're going to win in College Station?
I feel more confident that possibility is there. I don't think a close loss will do you much more harm than a close win is going to, you know, boost you that
see,
much. I
think
confidence means an awful lot. I think this group, since there's so many new guys, they need to win regardless of how pretty it is or how large the margin.
I think I get your point. I would still think that if this team were to, you know, if you're talking about the Texas A&M game, if Auburn were to easily win at Cal, if this game weren't competitive and it's a romp, that would influence my opinion of what Auburn's going to do at College Station. If this game's close in the fourth quarter, Auburn wins, Auburn loses. I still kind of feel the same way about the A&M game.
Kind of. I think if they lose, I feel worse about it, though.
Now, we're talking about changing your opinion of the rest of the season. If Cal is clearly better than Auburn on Saturday, like if Cal is a cut above Auburn and wins this game with little trouble.
I'm lowering my expectations for the season.
Absolutely. And that's where I would say, like, I don't want to overreact to a close loss, especially when you're going on the road. I would react appropriately.
Not
to
overreact,
a,
but I no, think no, no, I would think you would still need to probably lower your expectations if you thought Auburn was going to go in and thought Auburn was going to be 3-0 going to Texas A&M and they lose this ball game. I think you would have to say, well, maybe they're not going to win 7 or 8. Maybe they'll win 6 and get to a bowl.
Wouldn't A&M's performance this weekend also influence that
a
little bit?
Sure.
Because if they get,
of course, and that one will have already been that one will be in the books by the time Auburn.
If it's 42-7 Miami, maybe we're changing the way we're talking.
42-7 Miami, then Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino, you know, are out hitchhiking.
Yeah,
trying
so maybe
to find,
we're yeah,
find
so
a way home.
We're changing our opinion of what Auburn might do in College Station before Auburn ever takes the field. I just think that if Auburn were to, you know, if Auburn's a cut above Cal and it's clear for most of the game, that makes me gives me more confidence about what
reassures
this looks like.
What we had been thinking, you know, preseason.
If Auburn's clearly inferior, which I mean is unlikely but on the table, like that would really shake your confidence in what kind of team you're going to get the rest of the season. And I don't, I still. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I guess it could. And if that happens, I'm guessing the primary culprit is Auburn's run defense. Like if
I would think so too. Like that is the first area. And the area of largest concern, at least.
Yeah, like if this thing clearly goes Cal's way.
They line up and run for a couple of hundred yards and beat Auburn, then I'm thinking Auburn's not going to be able to stop many SEC teams from running the ball.
Absolutely right. That's the confidence-shaking thing. Now, this is where I would point out, I don't think North Texas starts anybody heavier than 305 on the defensive line. Auburn, a little bit different. What Cal's going to see this weekend on the defensive line.
Yeah, well, Auburn only starts one 300-pounder on the defensive line, though, unless you're going to play Rodgers and Jason Jones at the same time.
And depending on what happens in the run defense, they might look to get as big as possible up front, you know, if guys aren't having success. But it feels like Auburn's a little bit bigger up front, and I would think as you get further back, depending on what you get at line, but this is...
Yeah, and linebacker, you don't have Austin Keys now.
A ton of pressure
on...
There's five guys on the team.
The front seven or six, however you play it, since you got most likely five.
There's five guys on the team that look like they've. I mean, with Keys sidelined, Nixon,
Asante.
You've got
Cam Riley,
Wesley Steiner, and Woodyard played less than those four.
Yeah, and Robert Woodyard until this week had just been running with the scout team, or he ran with the scout team last week in practice.
Is four enough though?
I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if you need to elevate somebody, whether it's Woodyard or Jake Levant. Like someone's got to step in and be.
And that's it for the scholarship linebackers, I believe.
Does Zion Puckett move in and play more close to the
you play
line
a little
of scrimmage?
More? Play. I mean, you know,
because that gets Kaufman on the field, maybe.
Well, or Kaufman actually sort of play as that rover type that comes off the edge and helps in run stopping and stays in the game. I don't know.
I wonder if getting those two on the field, because I don't know how often those two are going to play together going into the season. I mean, you had Jalen Simpson
Keontae
Scott.
Probably not an awful lot.
I wonder if that maybe becomes
you get Keontae and Donovan on the field at the same time because they were both stars
last week. And maybe you play more defenses that have multiple inside defensive backs.
Something similar to a dime with Kaufman, perhaps, as that extra guy being a mini linebacker.
If Keys was one of your best 11 and he's not available anymore and you want a defense that plays your best 11, maybe the next guy up isn't necessarily a linebacker, right? Yeah, like maybe your next...
It's going to be a more true defensive back or down lineman, most likely. Because, I mean, it's going to be tough to keep Keldrick Falk out of there, but he's not a linebacker. I mean, so... I
wonder
if
his snaps increase this week.
I would think for sure.
I mean, I wonder if they were maybe taking it easy with him in his first taste of college football, and with an injury risk from the fall practice.
We're just getting underway. We'd love your thoughts on the Auburn game, any of the ball games coming up this weekend. 334-321-1390 is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They are the sponsor of our number one.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. That's the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to ESPNAU.com, use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. No Justin Ferguson. David Paschal will be joining us
Paschal.
In hour number two. So you sure want to... catch that. We'd love to hear from you in the meantime here on the Thursday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pro. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 18 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on any of the ball games this week. We mentioned a couple of them. As I mentioned, NFL kicking off tonight, Chiefs-Lions.
I mean, this is a Kansas City Chiefs team that won the Super Bowl last year. They've been to three Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. He has played, every playoff game at home, Drew? Something like that? Like the Chiefs have had the best record in every – I believe the Chiefs have had the –
every possible one at home.
I believe the Chiefs have had the best record in the AFC every year since Mahomes took over. I mean, it's a remarkable start to a career. We haven't seen anything quite like it before in recent memory in the NFL, especially when you couple it with the Super Bowls. Even Brady wasn't doing it while also shattering regular season records early in his career. And, yeah, they open the season as the favorites. They should be, even without Kelce potentially for a little while and with the contract situation. The Lions, is this the best Lions team of a couple of generations? I mean, they open with much higher expectations than a Detroit Lions team usually does, and that's reflected by the fact that they are in the opener tonight on national television. I mean, Detroit's not playing on national television unless it's Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, their Thursday game is usually Thanksgiving.
You see the Cowboys all season long on national television, and you see the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Detroit,
you see Detroit on Thanksgiving,
because why else would you want to show a Detroit Lions team? Usually, this Detroit Lions team, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs, speaking of the Detroit Lions, starting tonight could be maybe win Rookie of the Year, maybe have a tremendous season. I think there could be if you have him in your fantasy league, that could be good news. Next year, I think a lot of people will want him in the fantasy league. I just think that this is a guy who, I mean, last year, watching Jahmyr Gibbs, he was such a huge part of what Alabama was doing offensively. And, yeah, Detroit reaches for him in an era where people don't really reach for running backs. I think you could see why as early as tonight, when Jahmyr Gibbs makes his debut as the Lions take on the Chiefs.
Yeah, so that's coming up tonight. Today we get.
I like the Chiefs though because they have Mahomes.
Yeah,
I wish there was more analysis required.
I'll
take the Chiefs.
We also today got the full Auburn men's basketball schedule, and we knew who Auburn was playing. Now we know how the conference schedule lays out. And interesting, one of the first things that I noticed was that both games against Alabama are Wednesday night games. That's a bit of a bummer. Now, I don't know the times. Hoping they're not the 8 o'clock games.
What, Bama?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could see it being
they'll be packed either
between
way,
6 and 8, yeah.
But it's just tougher for some folks to be able to make it if you're going to either place from out of town. Those games just feel like most of the time they're Saturday games.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, I know ESPN wants the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday games to be as strong as possible, too, in the SEC. Wait, not Thursday. I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday games in the regular season in the SEC, and then the Saturday games as well in men's basketball. I think it's just the way I wonder if it's something the schedule makers even noticed, that they happen to put Bama, Auburn.
Oh, I bet they noticed.
Just because there are so many teams in the SEC this year, and I don't know the process between ESPN and the SEC of deciding what games are weekday games and what games are weeknight game what games are weekend games and what games are weeknight games within the conference. But yeah, I mean, between Bama and Tennessee and Kentucky and Arkansas and Auburn, I mean, you've got a front-loaded league this year and I could see the fact that Bama and Auburn ended up being a pair of weeknight games instead of weekend games just sort of slipping through the cracks.
Yeah, now the Kentucky game at Auburn is a Saturday game. Tennessee is a Wednesday game.
I also wondered when I saw the schedule if there was an emphasis on putting bigger matchups on weeknights.
Maybe.
For television
reasons. I mean, we haven't seen the entire conference schedule, but there are some big midweek games for Auburn basketball. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill and Dan. How y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Good. Dan, I was wondering, since you watched the film a little bit, what does Auburn look like offensive line stacked up against California's defensive line? Do they have an advantage or disadvantage?
Well, I wasn't paying as much attention to Cal when North Texas had the ball, but your question was how does the Auburn defensive line match up against Cal?
Yes.
No, Auburn's offensive line against Cal's defensive line.
Offensive line. Here's what I would say about that. It didn't seem like North Texas put much of an attempt into running the football. They run an air raid influence system, and I pointed out to Bill, and they were really trying Cal downfield. It was a lot of shotgun deep balls. What they they were faking the play action. They were faking the run without really establishing the run game first.
Which, as I said to you, used to drive me crazy. If you're not going to run the ball, or you're behind and the other team knows you're not going to run the ball, all you're doing is giving the defensive line more time to get to your quarterback.
And North Texas's quarterback, as far as I could tell, like some people may say, like, gunslinger mentality or whatever. I thought he was reckless. Like, I thought he was throwing balls that had no business being thrown. The coverage was way too tight. A couple of turnovers really turned the tide in that game. So, you know, I think that Auburn, I can't tell you how Cal really stacks up against a run game like Auburn, because they did not play one on Saturday. North Texas does not really attempt to run the football like that. And so it's going to be a new challenge for Cal, figuring out how they match up against not just an offensive line the size of Auburn's, but one that's trying to run the football the way Auburn does, because North Texas did not do that on Saturday.
And you wonder, you know, how many teams that they play on a regular basis really commit to the run. And the other thing that we've been hearing from Cal, leading up to the season openers, they felt the strength of their defense, as Auburn does, is in their secondary. They feel like they're back seven, not the front so much. They've got a linebacker. One of their linebackers is a sixth-year guy who was an all-Pac-12 linebacker who's about 235, 6'3", 235. So they really like him. But they feel the strength is more in their secondary and their linebackers than in the defensive front.
See, I hope Auburn's got a game plan Saturday, kind of like they had against Texas A&M back in 13. Those 9, 10, 11 play drives, just keep the ball away from them totally.
That would be very good, especially the way the clock runs more this year. The more you're able to do that, the even more you're limiting the opponent.
I'm not sure Auburn has the depth they had at that time, but we'll see. Who knows? But I'd like to hear you guys all hang up and listen to Auburn's biggest strength and Auburn's biggest weakness against California. Guys, you have a great one.
Appreciate the call, Terry.
Yeah, I would think that the matchup between Auburn's offensive line and Cal's defensive line when Auburn tries to run the ball would be the run game against the front seven would be the thing that Auburn is looking to lean on the most. Maybe the matchup of their secondary against Cal's receivers, possibly, you know, is a matchup that Auburn really likes.
I would think they feel pretty good about that. I would think both teams are concerned about stopping the other team's run. The Auburn defensive front, which, you know, you want to see how they match up against that Cal offensive line. Cal's got, 14 returning starters, I believe. I believe they had the most returning starters in the Pac-12. So they've got a lot of guys that have played together. So that to me is the key right there. How does the Auburn defensive front play? Can they handle Jaden Ott? And then can they get pressure on the quarterback without having to bring too many folks other than the front four or five? 334-321-1390, and Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was listening to yesterday when Brian Matthews was on. He had a good point, and I should have thought about it, but I didn't. But if in the red zone or wherever, for that matter, if Cal can't do anything with Robbie Ashford keeping the ball, they can't beat them.
Oh no! I think that's true of anyone Auburn faces the rest of this season with the roster that Auburn currently has. Now, if availability changes, that changes. But no, I think if Auburn's able to, if Auburn can reliably hand the ball to Robbie Ashford and get positive yardage on the ground, the opposing team's in real trouble. Because I think it also calls into question your ability to stop some of the other stuff Auburn is doing.
And, you know, so I believe we have more than a puncher's chance to win this game. But I believe these coaches have got a pretty good play on how they want to use Thorne and Ashford. And like Brian said yesterday, if you don't have an answer for him, he's just going to keep running. I like our chance to win the game. I think it may be a shootout, but I like our chances to win.
I think so too. I mean, I think that if it would be, as I said earlier in the show, like it would be really reassuring for the rest of the year. I think if Auburn's able to win this game convincingly, you know, with little trouble, like if they've done this before in road games against Power 5 teams. Road games I was nervous about. You know, Auburn's gone on the road in previous years, and it wasn't nearly as close as I was worried it was going to be. There have also been games that did not play out like that in this situation. So I think, if Auburn does what they need to do, I think they've got a great shot of winning this game. If we see regression, if we see mistakes, if we see an Auburn team that can't stop the run, then it could be a much tougher game Saturday night.
Could be a shootout. Last person who got the ball, I believe we'll win the football game. If I didn't, I wouldn't be going out there. But
when are you heading out?
Tomorrow at 5:30 in the afternoon, Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And I took Dan's advice in San Jose. I believe it's where we're going to be. A little bit of a ride over there, but I just didn't want to stay in Frisco. But
Bill, you ever been to an In-N-Out before?
I never have.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna try that this weekend?
Yeah. I think you'd mentioned that before, hadn't you?
We had a question from a California native on the Observer podcast that we taped yesterday about what to order if they're going to In-N-Out for the first time.
Gee, because Auburn fans had the opportunity twice. I mean, both national championships. They had it there in Phoenix as well.
That's a decade ago, for some of these folks. But yeah, In-N-Out, and In-N-Out located on the West Coast. But if you've never been before, I think it's a perfectly fine burger establishment with some really cool touches and flares.
All right, well, so yeah, we're going. If this works out as good as your hotel recommendations, I may just let you start handling my travel affairs.
I may have to open a side business here, Bill.
All right, we'll go, guys.
All right, hey, Bill, get
the
burger animal style is when they put pickles and mustard on it before it goes on the grill. The fries animal style means they're putting grilled onions and Thousand Island spread and cheese on it before it goes into a steamer. Right. They're both pretty good.
I got to try the Thousand Island thing. It sounds good.
Animal style fries, well done. My recommendation.
All right, I'll give you a report. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Bill. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, here on the Thursday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Yes, it's a week ago today that Spectrum customers lost.
How about
all the Disney?
How about the Instagram properties? Message from the SEC today, notifying folks? That's, I don't want to say notifying, pointing out.
Yes, just informing
the Southeastern Conference.
Fans.
Informing their 527,000 followers on Instagram that, and I will read it directly, quote, as negotiations continue between Charter Communications and Disney Entertainment, Spectrum cable customers who are seeking SEC programming on ESPN channels, including SEC Network, can easily find and sign up for ESPN channels across all other major TV streaming providers like DirecTV, Sling, Hulu, YouTube TV, and Fubo TV, unquote.
And you know that makes Charter Spectrum feel great because they're like, I mean, all the Southeastern Conference is saying is, don't wait. Go get it somewhere if you want to watch it.
Tell you something else. Most of the 15 million or so Charter Spectrum cable customers located in the Southeast, people who may have more of an interest in SEC Network / ESPN programming this weekend. I mean, Bama, Texas is on ESPN. Bama, Texas is on ESPN, as is Auburn and
right.
Cal.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just sort of we're interested parties just watching here. Fortunately, we both can access ESPN for the time being. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Been a while since I've reached out to you, War Eagle. Excited about the season and this game so far. A couple things. The equipment truck, I've been monitoring that all week. That was fun to keep track of those guys. It was hilarious. Did they make it safely?
I haven't seen that they did completely, but yes, I knew that things were going well. Andy was sure following it closely, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so was I. That was absolutely fun to just keep track of those guys. You know, I traveled that 40 route, actually relocated back here from Nevada. It's kind of a lonely stretch, but it's a very scenery, so I'm sure they enjoyed themselves on that journey out there, so... Hopefully they made it safely. That's an awful long travel.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. You know what? The trip back is gonna be pretty long, I would think. Are they driving?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's got to get back somehow. Getting out there is going to be a lot more fun than getting back, I would think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully safe travels to all of them. Also, what time is the team scheduled to arrive? Do you know?
I believe they're going to get in at around 9:30 local time tonight. They should be in the air.
Right. Well, that's good. They'll get there in enough time to get acclimated to the West Coast. I've been out there. That's a beautiful area. I lived in Nevada for many, many years.
Oh, okay.
And made the trek up to Northern Cal, and I tell you, it is beautiful. They actually call the Cal area, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, they actually call it Strawberry Canyon.
No, I've not heard that.
Yes, that's what it's called. It's such a beautiful area. It overlooks the bay, and about 45 minutes from there is the wine country.
Right.
It's a lot of scenery out there, so... I hope, you know, I know it's a business trip for the team, but I hope some of the fans are able to partake in some of the scenery while they're there.
Oh, I know that's the plan of the folks that I know that are going.
Oh, yeah, some great eateries. And I heard one of the callers here talking about the In-N-Out burger. It's absolutely delicious. They're very famous there on that West Coast. Their burgers are just out of this world.
Sorry about that. Dan sat down and his microphone was off. But yes,
oh,
absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And one last thing, guys. Reference to the game itself. Cal has to show me man on man. And I realize, you know, Cal probably has a lot of talent. This is a different. They have to show me man on man that they can stop our power running game. If I'm the staff, that's what I'm going into this game. Stop my running game.
And they might, you know, they
Cal
might,
can do that.
They might be able to. We really didn't get a lead on that in the first game. Like they did not face a team that's going to attack them the way Auburn does. And that's not to say North Texas doesn't have strengths as an offense, but they were not trying to run the football like Auburn, and their offensive line isn't built to run the football the way Auburn has built to run the football on this team. So I just think, how Auburn's run game holds up against how Auburn's run defense holds up against Cal when Cal has the football, and what Auburn can do off of that is something I'm watching. And for Cal, you know, when they've got the football, or you know, how can they have success against this Auburn defense?
Absolutely, and I'm gonna have to have the no dose handy to stay awake. It's gonna be a long late night.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah. Well,
good luck.
Good luck to the team. Thanks, guys. I'll listen. Appreciate it. Be talking to you soon.
Good hearing from you, Jeff. 334-321-1390. Is it Jerry next? Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I feel real good about the game this weekend. I think it's going to be close. Cal's very, very strong team, I believe. But it's a good test to see how we do. But I had a question about Texas and Oklahoma coming in to the conference next year. When are they going to actually be admitted into the conference? Would it be at the SEC Media Days in Destin?
Yes. I mean, they would be official members as soon as their academic year and they're done with all their athletics.
There is a date. I think it's either June 1st or July 1st.
They
become members, because I know that's when a lot of the movement we're going to see after this season is over. And, you know, because Texas and Oklahoma are not the only teams playing their final year in a conference this season.
Right.
But that's, I think it's officially either the 1st of June or the 1st of July.
Yeah, I thought they would probably play basketball and baseball with the Big 12, but, you know, before joining. So, next summer.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
Appreciate it,
Jerry. See you later.
334-321-1390. Let's get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in. Don't forget, David Paschal will be with us in at the top of hour number two here on the Thursday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pro.
NAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on this Thursday. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And, we'd love for you to join in. Your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. Obviously, this weekend in college football, the big SEC matchup, some other interesting games as well. Auburn heading out to Cal.
How are you feeling about Bama, Texas?
The closer it gets to it, the more I feel like Alabama's going to win and win comfortably. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe it's just force of habit.
You just need to see it from Texas first, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, again, you try not to overreact from one glimpse, you know, from one game. But Texas didn't look great against Rice. And Alabama looked pretty darn good. I know it was, you know, middle, but, I mean, still. Jaden Milroe looked really, really good. Quinn Ewers didn't look as good, I thought, as I thought he would.
It's not so much based around what we saw this past weekend, though, right?
That has something to do with it. I mean, I thought if Texas, maybe Texas, and I'm sure they have been, you know, working just for Alabama. I mean, and went out last week and were looking ahead. That's not uncommon for something like that to happen. And for them now to come in this week and play, you know, so much better. They played Alabama off their feet last year. They really did. And it's funny how I hear Alabama fans and people that cover Alabama saying, well, Alabama's got the revenge motive. They won the game. You won last year.
Yeah.
You got revenge for a close win.
That's not how revenge works in general. You know, Texas should be the one seeking revenge after nearly beating Alabama.
I know that Texas feels like if they had had Ewers for the entire game, they would have won.
And they have a chance to prove that. You know, they have a chance to prove they can beat Alabama with Quinn Ewers tomorrow. It's just a matter of going on the road and doing it in Tuscaloosa.
That's a tall task. Alabama has, I believe, the longest home winning streak in the nation. Who does Texas have to take play the part of Bijan Robinson this year?
Has Saban lost a home out of conference game since Louisiana Monroe?
I don't know that he has.
I would doubt it. Would be my guess. I can't imagine
since year one.
Yeah. That would be the last one. And we were in Athens, Georgia, watching that game, Bill. That would have been the day of the blackout.
Unbelievable. Yes. That would have
been the day of the.
Yeah, things were going really well. Until
they weren't.
Until late in the second. Midway in the second quarter.
Little did we realize how good we had it at pregame.
Yeah,
that
no
game,
kidding.
Right? Bama was losing to Monroe.
Bama was losing. And Auburn was okay early on. And then it just, boy, it all went downhill. And
yeah. It hasn't been nothing but.
No, I was going to say it, and it hasn't been just, all the bottom since.
But there have been successes.
There have been more bumps on the bottom than I expected at that time.
There have been successes for Alabama and Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
In those 15 years as well.
Yeah, seven national championships between the two of them since then.
Impressive stuff.
Auburn's
got one and played one, too. So, and LSU's got a couple.
Yeah.
Since then, remarkably. So it's, it's been a wild ride, but yeah, Auburn. I'm thinking Alabama more out of force of habit than anything else. I think it would be great for college football if Texas was good enough to go, with Quinn Ewers and pull off a road win like that. Like this would be a an earth shattering.
There is the statement win.
Yeah,
I heard. I also heard that Steve Sarkisian is 2-6. in road games in his 2 years at Texas. And the two road wins are Kansas and Kansas State.
I was going to say that includes a thrashing in Fayetteville a couple of years ago when we thought Texas was, we thought, Texas has a,
this would be a monumental road win.
And a if Texas were to be beaten badly, I think a confidence shaking loss for Texas folks as well. Like, this is a high stakes game for both sides. Texas with a win, the wind is at their sails for the rest of their final season in the Big 12.
They win, they're a top five team.
If they,
because they're what, 10 or 11 depending on the poll you look at.
If they're run off the field, it's
then it looks like the Texas we've seen for the last 15 years.
And the Texas we've seen for the last 15 years usually has a new coach before long.
That's true. Yeah, so, I mean, it is very, very interesting matchup there in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night.
A&M Miami.
I think A&M wins. But I think Mario needs to. You know, both of these coaches have got fan bases that are a little antsy. A&M, because they've just been the same. They've been an 8-win team. And I think the expectation was Mario Cristobal's coming in. He's going to turn it back around. Miami's back. Sort of like the way Texas has felt.
You know, your new strategy, you should say the opposite of what you say on Doug's show. So you get to be right on.
Oh, there we go.
You should predict something on Doug's show and then come on this show and say the exact opposite.
Well, I think I did take Miami.
All right.
Doug's.
I was just thinking about this, but the
Miami the points, I think, is what it was.
Miami is a 4-point home underdog.
Yeah, it was 4.5 had
to A&M. So you can have A&M by a field goal in Miami, which I think, you know, some folks probably will. You know, they think A&M might be able to middle.
And I just, I've got to see it to believe that A&M is really, that this marriage of Bobby Petrino and Jimbo Fisher is going to solve those problems at A&M.
Right.
And if it does, now, if they go out and dominate Miami, then maybe so.
Connor Wigman had the first 5-touchdown game in school history.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Manziel never had a 5-touchdown game?
5 passing touchdowns in one game.
I thought for sure as many points as they were scoring.
I thought that was a pretty wild statistic. Well, Kellen Mond had some really impressive games too. The thought that no A&M quarterback has ever had 5 touchdowns in one game through the air until this past Saturday. It was New Mexico, but still, A&M looking to drastically improve in 1 year, and this is another high stakes game. This is another one where, there's going to be a really disappointed coaching staff on one side or the other, and a fan base that's looking at that coaching staff wondering if they're the answer.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, thing it is, it is a road game for A&M, but it's at Miami. That's never been the most difficult place to go in and play.
No, what's made Miami a difficult place to go play is the team.
Was when they had twice as much talent as anybody that would play.
When Miami is a top-tier team, going and playing them away from your house is tough, even if it's the Orange Bowl and it's half full and the fans don't seem all that engaged in what's going on in the game. So, yeah, I think this is a big spot for Mario to show that Miami, in an ACC that looks to be a little bit more open after what we saw from Clemson on Monday, like suddenly Miami can make an argument that they're a contender in the ACC, and for A&M, we've talked about that stretch that Miami begins 5 really tough games for Texas A&M, and including, they've got Auburn and Arkansas and Alabama coming up in short order there for Texas A&M. A loss here begins you're facing down that stretch with Jimbo Fisher, and you feel like some of those are must-win games. Loss to Miami shakes the confidence, like we were saying, of a team before they go and play games like that.
No, you're absolutely right about that. So, yeah, we'll talk about those games and much more with our one of our favorite guests. That's David Pascal coming up in just a few minutes. We'll give him a couple of minutes. He's wrapping things up on his show right now, so we'll give him a couple of minutes to relax after that before we give him a call. But, yes, he's coming up, and then we'll get back to you, our callers, in hour number two of the Thursday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls here in the studio on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody is doing well. No Justin Ferguson with us today because he should be on the way. He is somewhere, well, I wouldn't say he's between here and California yet. I don't know. When did they take off? When were they taking off? Wasn't it like 7-something tonight?
Let me see.
So they're probably still at the airport in Atlanta. Justin Ferguson, usually with us on Thursdays. He will join us by phone from the left coast on Friday's show.
I think they're on a nonstop from Atlanta to San Jose.
Thinking he said they were flying it, leaving at like 7:20 or something is what Jason said.
I think that might be right. So they may be arriving late tonight, not unlike the team,
right?
Who's also Coach Freeze talked about trying to manage some of the challenges of playing at 9:30 involving what I think that was part of the reason why, or I guess it was too late to book a Friday flight.
Right. He when he found out the game time, he wanted to switch it to Friday.
Didn't he say, was it on the conference call?
He said that an NFL team had the plane.
Auburn's plane, the plane Auburn uses for these situations, was unavailable Friday because there's an NFL team flying to a game on Friday on the plane. So Auburn had to, that's why they needed to go Thursday. So they're going, I believe it's as late as you could, either it's as late as you could leave from Thursday night or as late as you can arrive Thursday night at, you know, it's one of the two airports. Like that was sort of deciding, like they pushed it as far as they can.
Yeah, I think they were going to be arriving at around 9:30 Pacific.
Yeah, I think it's about tonight. As late as you can arrive there at the San Francisco airport or whichever airport they're going to be arriving at. So part of the adjustment that Auburn's trying to make, and they're going to, well, that was that on the conference call too? You know, do some.
No, I think that was in his regular.
Was that Monday?
Weekly press conference.
Thought, you know, get in, do some yoga. And then
yeah, that's
Friday.
Right. Now he mentioned that on the conference call. I'm just still Saturday is what would concern me. What are they going to do Saturday to take up all that time that you have before you even head over to the stadium?
Do you watch some Bama Texas
I don't
as a
know.
Team?
I wonder.
I mean the game.
You know, you're probably not watching Bama Texas because you're at the stadium by then. You know, you're probably en route to the stadium. Three and a half hours before the game, but it's the long morning and afternoon, and then you've still got a few more hours. That's what I wonder about. So yeah, we'll hear about more of that. We'll check in, see if when we talk to Justin tomorrow, we'll see if they have any idea of what the plan
for Saturday
is.
Do you wake the team? Do you wake the team up early?
What somebody said. Wake them up early. Do something. Go through a walkthrough and take a nap. I don't know.
I think you give them that option, but I think the folks who want to sleep in should probably sleep in for a 9:30 p.m. game.
Sure, get as much sleep as you can.
You know, if you feel like running on the beach, like Rocky and Apollo Creed, you know, you want to do that to get ready, then you can. But I'd say otherwise, if you feel like getting your sleep, get your sleep.
Yeah, it's not. And again, it's not like Auburn has a lot of history, nor does Hugh Freeze at these type things. Auburn making its fourth football trip to the state of California, ever.
I think Ole Miss was going to – they did play at Cal, but they did it after – it was Matt Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hugh Freeze was going to play a game at Cal as Ole Miss's coach, and either the year he was let go or the year after he was let go, Matt Luke took the team out there instead. I think Cal won that game, actually, early in the Wilcox era.
Well, I'll tell you somebody that would probably know. I mean, he probably off the top of his head knows, you know, how often people go out to the SEC teams, go out to the state of California to play a future ACC team.
He probably remembers, like, Tamu's numbers for Ole Miss in that game.
Oh, no. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. It's time to welcome in our good friend and regular Thursday guest here on The Drive, and that is David Pascal of the Chattanooga Times Free Press and Press Row on ESPN Chattanooga. David, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, you got Hugh Freeze was really good on the SEC teleconference yesterday talking about just the logistics of it. I mean, I really do think you need to stay up as late as you can and then go to bed, you know, sleep in as late as you can for something like this. I mean, it's such a and you know, the more Freeze was talking about it, the more you realize that, I mean, because this is a huge undertaking that Auburn's doing this week. And then you realize that the Big Ten and the ACC, they're going to be doing this four or five times a year.
Yeah, that's from Eastern time zone out there. I would think that either way, I mean, if Cal or Stanford, and I can't imagine them doing this, but I mean, what if they got one of the early kickoffs in the East? Get a noon kickoff in the East. That's ridiculously tough for them. And then for teams from the East and here in the Central, going out West and playing a 9:30 Central start, I mean, is just that's hard to imagine.
Can the Big Ten can they manage the schedule in a way where teams only take one trip to play, you know, between Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA, maybe only play one of those four on the road in a given football season? I'm not even going to try to balance the schedule for the other sports, but I think maybe they'll keep that in mind with, and of course, you know, those teams will play each other all year too. I don't know. Like maybe they'll try to reduce, because you're right, David, the notion of sending Michigan State to the West Coast several times a year feels like it's got to be, a real obstacle for these teams.
Now, I will say this about the trip that Auburn is taking. Tennessee had a home-and-home with Cal back in 06 and 07. Tennessee went out there in 06, and Cal came over to Tennessee in 07. And I know Tennessee fans that went over there and were, like, shocked walking around that Cal campus, and you would see, like, co-eds naked in the trees. No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's going to be – I'll be curious if any Auburn fans come back with that sight or that image. But I had multiple people tell me that it is a completely different place.
David, if you'd been on with us a couple of weeks ago saying that, Auburn would have there would have been another rush for tickets.
Well, I know that some folks, you know, like Berkeley is one of, especially among like state universities, like that is it's always near the top of the most beautiful campus rankings. There are like wooded, you know, forest like areas. There are really old seeming buildings. The big state school, I mean, UCLA too, like California has a couple of absolutely gorgeous college campuses. And, yeah, I think folks are making that trip if they've never been to Northern California before. Have you been to did you go on that trip, David, or have you been to Northern California in your travels very often?
Yeah, I've been to Stanford's campus, not for a game, but I've not been to the Berkeley campus, to my knowledge, and certainly not for a sporting event. But, yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country, no doubt.
No question.
So what are you expecting on the field Saturday night when Auburn takes on Cal?
You know, this is one of those that because the season's still so new, mm-hmm. Auburn got gashed that first possession. UMass had, 76 rushing yards on six carries, and Auburn did adjust a little bit and, did better. But, you know, the run defense totals were – a little concerning, and then you've got Cal that, you know, ran like wild in its first game. So, but again, it's so new. I would think it's a very competitive game. I like Auburn in the game. I like a lot of points in the game, but you know, again, this is also new too. You see some of these games and you want to jump on the over, but then you realize they're, you know, these games have 5 to 7 fewer plays, so you may not want to go too crazy on the overs early in the year. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a great point. We were talking about earlier. I mean, you have one game to go by for most teams. You know, you got Vandy that's played a couple, but most everybody has played one game, and that's all you have to go on. You had your preconceived notions going in, And an awful lot of people have, you know, changed their mind completely after what they saw. Let's talk a little bit about the reactions and overreactions. What were the most striking takeaways that that you had from week one of college football?
Well, if you look at the three SEC teams that lost, they all lost by double digits. And in the case of Florida and South Carolina especially, they really struggled up front. And that's just a, you know, typically offensive lines can be the first thing that go when a program kind of hits a bad patch. And I think Auburn's kind of an example of that. I think I'll be curious to see how good. There have been a lot of glowing reports. I'm sure you've read them too about how good Tank Bigsby's been looking with the Jaguars. I mean, he was a heck of a running back, and he was a heck of a running back behind some really inconsistent offensive lines when he was at Auburn. So, you know, I just think Florida. You know, you think about like Florida and South Carolina, you're talking about inexperience. You're talking about, I think Billy Napier told me, because I asked him about it on the call yesterday, I think his offensive line only had 13 combined starts going into that game last Thursday night, and it showed. I mean, Utah's got a very veteran defensive front, and I think Mertz was sacked 5 times. I mean, Spencer Rattler was sacked 9 times, and then you throw in Jaden Daniels getting sacked 4 times, and so the three teams that lost last week gave up a combined 18 sacks. You know, and of course those factor into the rushing totals. South Carolina had -2 rushing yards. Florida had 13 rushing yards. You know, LSU did a little bit better, but I think in all three cases, you know, the LSU deal, and Brian Kelly admitted it this week, he's like, we cannot have Jaden Daniels leading our team in rushing and in rushes every week. I mean, Jaden Daniels had 3 more rushes than their entire running back contingent combined. So I think in all three cases of the SEC teams losing, their offensive line play, especially Florida and South Carolina's, was really, really concerning. And again, that's just one of those groups that you're like, how do you get better when you're young and people start developing the film on you and stuff like that and load the box? I mean, what are you going to do to beat it?
Yeah, I don't want – I mean, I feel like every year folks jump to conclusions about leagues based on the small sample size of a couple of out-of-conference games. And I don't think the quality of the SEC, especially at the top, is down based on Florida losing to Utah or South Carolina losing to North Carolina. But there are some big games in the league this weekend, even though they're out-of-conference games. And Bama, Texas – is maybe at the top of that list because of what a win would mean for Texas, and what a loss at home would mean for Alabama.
And you know, when you're talking about league, do you think we're going to have these conversations as much as we have before about, you know, with the way college football is heading? Are we still going to be talking about league pride and which league's up and which league's down? I'll be curious to see how that works moving forward, because that's been one of the special things about college football, is talking about how good's the league compared to before. Who knows? Maybe we still do, but no, Alabama-Texas is obviously a huge game, and we all know what happened out there last year. Alabama was very fortunate to win. It's interesting, and maybe this goes right into your overreaction theme here. I mean, I think Jalen Milroe looked better than a lot of people thought. I was shocked to read that he was the first quarterback in Alabama history with 3 passing touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns in the same game, just because you've had Blake Sims and Jalen Hurts and Tua and Bryce Young in the last decade, and none of them ever did that. So Jalen Milroe did. He looked better than expected. Mm-hmm. You know, Quinn Ewers and the Texas offense didn't have as much punch as expected. So I do think you're seeing a lot of people react to that and saying, man, Bama's at home. Bama, you know, Bama doesn't lay only 7 points at home too often. I know a lot of people that are really jumping on Bama Saturday night.
Yeah, you're not kidding. On the other hand, you know, Texas has been targeting this ball game, and I think we'll find out Saturday night. But it surely wouldn't be the first time we've seen a team look past an outmanned opponent for that game that they feel like could be a statement, like you know, with Texas had with Rice last week, looking ahead to Alabama.
Yeah, I almost think that there's a little bit of that on both sides, Bill. I mean, I think Alabama knows that they got, you know, that game was about as even as you could have. I think the total yard, I think Bama had like three more total yards than Texas last year. So it was about as even as you could have a game. But I think Alabama wants to prove itself. I mean, we talked about it last week. I mean, I think that Alabama team that won the national championship in the COVID years, one of the best teams that'll probably get overlooked because it was a COVID-altered season. I mean, they just demolished everybody that year. You know, last year they had five games go down to the wire, and they went 3-2 in those games. This was the first one of those games that they won. But I think Alabama's looking to prove that last year their performance in Austin was a fluke. So I think – and then you've got the kind of the added factor of the – you know, last year Alabama's band didn't go because it was going to be in the upper deck and,
right.
and turn around, you know, turnabout's fair play. So there's a little bit of that with this game. I just think Alabama, you know, really, I picked it 34-23 Bama. But again, and again, this kind of does fit into that. Everything's still so new that this game could go in a bunch of different directions. I just, Bama, you know, the fact that Saban lost to, I guess he would have lost to Florida State and Louisiana Monroe his first year. In 07, and that's the last time he's lost to a non-conference. Those are the last non-conference games he's lost in the regular season.
We didn't,
home or away.
Yeah, we didn't look it up, but we're thinking that was probably the last time Alabama had lost a non-conference game.
And David, as we said earlier in the show, that Alabama-Louisiana Monroe game was the same day as the blackout Auburn-Georgia game in 2007. Bill and I watched that Louisiana Monroe game from the from Athens before Auburn went out there, and I was able to do my best David Pascal impression a little bit earlier today, and pointed out to Bill that Connor Wegman, five touchdowns on Saturday, first time in program history an A&M quarterback had a five touchdown game, five passing touchdowns in one game. Is that did you see that stat, David? Because that blows my mind.
Seemed like Johnny Manziel was responsible for a lot of touchdowns, and especially, you know, back there in 12 and 13.
That one in Kenny Trill Hill's debut. Remember that Thursday
night?
Oh,
yeah.
South Carolina?
He was the Heisman leader. He was the Heisman leader in the early end.
I thought he had 10 touchdowns against Spurrier.
I didn't tell you, that it night. Felt like it. It felt like it for sure to South Carolina fans. But no, that is. That's a surprise, too. And that's another fun game. You know, who knows? Texas A&M showed a lot more punch. I know it was against an inferior team, but they go down to Miami, and there's no real crowd advantage down there in Miami. So I kind of like Texas A&M to have a nice performance there. I mean, it's interesting. You've got these road games. You know, Auburn's on the road in kind of an interesting game, Texas A&M. You've got Ole Miss playing at Tulane in a sold-out Yulman Stadium, which is only like 30,000. And then you've got Vandy going to Wake Forest. Vandy's the only underdog in the league this week. And I do think Wake's got Clawson's done an incredible job.
Oh, yes.
I had no idea he had taken them to seven consecutive bowl games when I looked that up this week. Pretty amazing. I think Vandy would be the team in the most trouble this week among the SEC.
They would be. What do you think, though, about that Ole Miss Tulane game?
I don't know what the over is on that. And again, that's one of those that you'd love to bet the over just because your last memories are, you know, what Tulane scored. They hung 46 on Southern Cal, whatever it was, in the bowl game. And, of course, Ole Miss scored 73 last week. But you do have to be a little bit careful on the overs with the fewer plays. But
Dan says,
you know,
it's 66.
Okay, that's not too
– doesn't seem too high.
Yeah, I think I picked it 38-31 Rebels, so I've got it barely going over that. But it wouldn't surprise me if both of these teams got in the 40s either.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some points scored this weekend. I mean, in some of these games that we're talking about, not just the one-sided games, because there are plenty of those again in week two. But I think in most of these games that we've been talking about, it's going to take 30, I think, to win.
Well, and it's a weird schedule week because we mentioned Vandy playing at Wake Forest. If you look at the other SEC East games, I mean, they're pretty dreadful.
They are. Yeah,
so it's just kind of a quirk of the schedule this week because the West has some good ones. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't even know about – I know Mississippi State went over there and handled Arizona last year, but who's to say Arizona can't come over and give Mississippi State a good game in Starkville? I don't know. I mean, I like
10.5 is a lot of points. Yeah, I mean, that's it's double digit at least looks like. I think that one's closer than the number has been, at least.
Yeah, and then another one that's kind of weird. I mentioned the East not having good ones. Missouri and Middle Tennessee, they've only played twice, but they've been really good games. Middle Tennessee actually went up there about 6 or 7 years ago and beat them like 51-45. But I see where Mizzou's favored by 20, so I guess Middle Tennessee's performance in Alabama kind of has some odds makers thinking they won't provide much of a punch.
Yeah, well, Mizzou's not quite Alabama yet, so.
No, they're not. They're actually recruiting really well.
They are.
Though.
Eli really is.
Alabama, yeah.
So Middle Tennessee plays Auburn in volleyball tonight, and I just saw the MTSU team downtown about 2 hours ago, stopping at Toomer's as they were sightseeing.
Well, that's where Auburn's ranked, right?
Yeah, that's right. First time. That's great. Hey, great stuff as always, David. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you're doing all the time.
Yeah, the paper gig is timesfreepress.com, and the radio gig is espnchattanooga.com, and that's 3 to 6 Eastern each weekday.
Great stuff. Thanks again, David. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
All righty. Enjoy the late night Saturday night.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Thanks, David.
Take care.
David Pascal joining us as he does on Thursdays. Yeah, does a great job. And he's one that will have some numbers. I did not know that. I hadn't seen that about Alabama with it never having a quarterback with 3 touchdown passes and 2 touchdowns running.
I would have guaranteed Jalen Hurts did that at some point.
You would have sure thought so.
In his 2 years as Bama starter, and the fact that he didn't is surprising.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number 2. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390 here on the Thursday Drive.
At Dixie Electric, 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, our thanks to David Pascal from Chattanooga joining us. Yes, the Chattanooga Times Free Press and ESPN Chattanooga, where he just wrapped his show up about a half an hour ago and then came on with us. Always has some very enlightening information. We'd love to get your thoughts on any of the ball games. I think that Ole Miss Tulane game could really be a wild one.
It's a good Tulane team. I mean, that is a proud coach with a group that
Willie
beat
Fritz.
Beat USC last year. I think they, you know, the secret's out. They are getting quality players in that state. You know, they got to go somewhere other than LSU.
They got their quarterback back.
Yeah. Like, I think this is it's going to be a real challenge for the Ole Miss defense.
I think for both defenses are going to be challenged.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, when Lane Kiffin's calling plays, that the defense is going to be challenged.
It's telling, too. We were talking about over-unders in the segment with Pascal. And I think Auburn, Cal, Texas, Alabama, and A&M Miami are all right in the 51-53 over-under ballpark. Like, all three of those teams are right around the same. And then
Ole Miss Tulane
is at 2 touchdowns more there at 66. So, yeah, I think that could be a wild one.
Yeah, we'd love your thoughts. Give us your thoughts, predictions for any of the ball games coming up. What do you expect to see late night on Saturday with the Auburn-Cal game?
If you're watching Bama-Texas and Auburn-Cal as a doubleheader, before that, you've got those two 2:30 games. That's Ole Miss-Tulane, and that's the ESPN2 game. Miami-Texas A&M is the ABC game at 2:30.
Who are the what are the early games on Saturday?
In the league, you've got Vandy and Wake. That game is a 11 a.m. Eastern start on the ACC network. That game is 10 a.m. Central kick for
yeah. I just was wondering, are there any big ball games nationally? Because the early games in the SEC aren't that wildly exciting. I mean, you've got that Vandy Wake Forest. Did you say it's 10 o'clock?
Yeah, 10 a.m. Yeah,
10 o'clock. Yeah. So we've got games starting almost 12 hours apart.
They're kicking off
from Vandy Wake to the Auburn Cal game.
They're kicking off before.
I knew it was an early game.
And maybe they have a test on Sunday or something there with Vandy and Wake Forest.
That's what the ACC is just testing and going, hey, Cal, here's the time you could be starting.
You know, it's wild.
We could start a game for you. You could fly from the West Coast here and play at 7 o'clock your time or we could fly out there and play at 10:30 our time.
Crazy
10:30 at night our
time. Game day's not over yet, and Vanderbilt and Wake
Forest.
Right,
game day's got an hour to go.
Have kicked off. Yeah, they got an hour to go there. Utah Baylor is the 11 a.m. game on ESPN. Utah coming off the win.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Notre Dame NC State.
Is that an 11 o'clock game, too?
That's good. That's the ABC game at 11 o'clock. Nebraska Colorado is the 11 o'clock game on Fox.
Oh, then we do have some good 11 o'clock games.
We got some interesting.
I need to get all the yard work done tomorrow.
Yeah, or use the YouTube.
I'm not going to be out before, no.
Or split screen it with YouTube TV because there are multiple.
I know that.
Multiple interesting
I know
games
you can
there.
Do that, but I'm saying I can't watch YouTube very well while I'm cutting grass.
How about this? FS1 has Kansas State hosting the Troy Trojans at 11 a.m. Troy.
I think that's an opportunity for Troy.
That's an opportunity for the fighting Barry McKnight. To maybe pull off a win. Purdue Virginia Tech is the 11 a.m. game on ESPN2. Purdue 0-1 after losing to Fresno. Mm-hmm. They are a 3-point underdog in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech beat up on somebody last week.
I think it was an FCS team.
So that's the a chance for Purdue to bounce back after losing the season opener. Virginia Tech a chance to start 2-0. Those are your biggest 11 a.m. games. I mentioned to you James Madison is a road favorite at Virginia. That's also an early game as they're regrouping there at UVA after challenging last couple of seasons. But I think it's a pretty loaded early slate of games.
Yeah, it is much better than I expected.
Nebraska Colorado is a game that, especially after Colorado,
very
wins,
intriguing.
That's a game that I think a lot of people are going to be tuning in for. I would not rule out the chance that Nebraska wins.
Especially now that I know that it's at 11 o'clock. I mean, it's just tough. It is tough at home to play those early games.
And that's 11 o'clock Central,
which is 10 o'clock.
It gets you to 10 in the
It's 10 o'clock at home. They're playing at 10 o'clock in the morning.
They're playing at 10 a.m. for Fox. Yeah, so it's a that's going to be a challenge for those fans and that team. Mm-hmm. But I think the excitement and the enthusiasm.
Oh, you know they're going crazy.
I mean, yeah, they could play that game at 6 in the morning, and there'd be folks fired up at Boulder, Colorado after they beat TCU last week. And Deion coaching his first home game. I just think Nebraska and Matt Rhule, that game slipped through their fingers against Minnesota last week. It's a good team that...
It's a good team. I just wonder about their offense.
I think people are too fired up about Colorado. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, I agree.
I get it, but I
agree. I mean, they may need... I mean, and they're... what are they? What is it, about 3 or 4 points?
They're a 3-point favorite, yeah. And the public
is over... So, I mean, they may win by... 3 or 4.
The public overwhelmingly back in Colorado in this game, according to some of the books. So that makes me a little bit nervous about, look, sometimes the public is on a team and the team wins.
Right.
Like it doesn't guarantee anything. But if I give you like 3 teams and they say, you know, the public's back and, you know, 90% of the bets are on these 3, I feel like we're looking at 1 and 2. In those mm-hmm. 3 games,
yeah,
like
I wouldn't disagree with that.
And it sounds like Auburn is a team that the public is also at least at the
Alabama
moment.
Is a team that the public is all over.
Alabama, how about that? Between Colorado, Alabama, and Auburn, I think you're looking at
how many cover.
You're looking at 1 and 2.
You think you think one covers?
Maybe 0-3 against the spread. But you could have those teams go 2-1.
The way I picked it 1-2.
Yeah, I think it could be something like that. Maybe all 3 of them win.
They may all 3 win, but they may not cover.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right way to look at it.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in here in the final half hour of the Thursday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Thursday with Bill and Dan. Again, our thanks to David Pascal for joining us this hour. His thoughts. He's picking some high-scoring games. Are you, he had Alabama 34-23, thinking Ole Miss 38-31 over Tulane.
A lot of confidence in the Bama offense. I understand Milroe looked like he, showed quite a bit of promise, and it's a talented group. I just, that feels like a game where I could see the defenses having the advantage for part of it as they
you've got to feel like Texas – is going to try to confuse Jalen Milroe a little bit and give him some different looks and things like that. He sure did look good last week. For all the talk of how much he struggled, he didn't look good in the spring game. That doesn't mean anything. We've seen that before. But we were hearing that he wasn't having a great fall throwing the ball, but he sure looked pretty good throwing the ball this past week. We will see against the Texas defense how that looks. And then Quinn Ewers didn't look as good as everyone thought he would against Rice. And we'll see if that was just an opening game and not as focused or what. I mean, they do have a couple of other they've got a couple of other talented guys, just like Alabama does. They're at quarterback in Case.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see a performance-related switch, with either of those quarterbacks, or it's just a matter. I mean, I thought there'd be more uncertainty regarding Bama's quarterback situation, and Milroe's performance in the first game quieted.
Looks like he's the guy, and the others are the backups.
And I'm thinking with both of them, I would think they've got a chance to lead their team not just in this game but all season long. Just a matter of who's going to emerge on top. And yeah, I mean, Quinn Ewers is a big part of it. The Texas defense is a big part of it too. Can they make Alabama one dimensional? Can they force Milroe into mistakes? And I don't know. I would, out of habit, I'm thinking advantage Alabama. But
well, because everyone, I mean, all the from NFL scouts to just Joe Fan, feel like Alabama should have one of the best defenses in the nation. And so if they get outstanding play at quarterback, that makes it really tough for anybody.
334.
Yeah. Sorry about that. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. We will we'll get to the phone. Who have we got up next?
James.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I haven't been able to call in lately. I've been busy, so.
That's all right. We forgive you.
That's all right. I appreciate that. So I've had a lot to think about, and I wanted to say a lot of different things, but I think I'm going to just stick to one right now. So how nervous are we about this Cal game?
Well, the closer it gets, probably more nervous than before.
Nervous that Auburn could lose it, or nervous that catastrophe could strike? Because Bill and I had an argument, not an argument, Bill and I discussed earlier in the show. I don't think if this game is close throughout and Cal wins it at the buzzer, or this game goes into overtime and Cal wins it, I don't think, I mean, it's disappointing because I think people chalk this up as a win, but it doesn't change what I think this Auburn team could potentially do in other games this season. If Cal goes out there and they're clearly better than Auburn, that would be something that's troubling as far as what Auburn's capable of this year. Because if Cal can go out there and outclass Auburn, it does make you wonder how competitive Auburn will be against most of the SEC teams on the schedule.
Yeah, because I know, man, you talked about it then earlier in the week when you came by. I don't know. I'm not worried about the game or about losing it, and I'm not chalking it up as a win, but I guess I'm looking at it. How many points did North Texas score on Cal last week?
21 in the first half.
And then none in the second with just 9 yards of offense.
I don't know. I mean, would you say North Texas has scored 21 points on Auburn's defense?
North Texas does remind me a little bit of some of those Group of Five air raid teams that you see where they're a difficult offense in the conference, but then when they face a Group of Five team, or when they face a major
Power Five,
face a major conference team, it just doesn't work. What they're trying to do, Western Kentucky was like that last year when they came to Auburn, eye-popping numbers in conference as an offense, but then they came to Auburn, they really couldn't get anything going late in the year. And I do wonder, I mean, North Texas was not even attempting to run the football. It was like watching a Mike Leach team. It was air raid with four receivers or more on the field at all times. Maybe Cal's run defense can stop Auburn, but it's not nothing we saw on Saturday gives us a ton of evidence there, because North Texas and Auburn are so different in how they attack teams.
See, I would to me, I'm coming from the perspective of, okay, Cal really stuck themselves in a mess. All right, you don't have your starting quarterback, as we know of. That could change. It may not change. Then you got your running back out there making absurd comments about Auburn, which I don't even understand where he's getting that from. And then your defense gave up 21 points to North Texas. I don't know where they're thinking they're going with this, but I don't know if I was the coach at Cal, I don't think I'd let my players talk to the media in that sense.
Although I don't, I mean, I understand Auburn fans aren't going to like it. I don't think the North Texas running, I mean, I don't think the Cal running back said anything that would, like, if I were a Cal fan or in the locker room, I mean, he's saying.
To me, the worst comment he made was his biggest concern was their heads being too big after they get the dub.
Sure, which is
that's a bit, that's but, to me, that's more of a slap than, you know, that. Trying to say that the jersey or the team name shouldn't scare you.
But at the same time, I feel like if Damari Alston said something like that, we wouldn't be, like, worried that it's motivating Cal. We'd be saying, good, he seems confident.
If you were the underdog, you might be.
Yeah, I just think that's, like, I mean, it to me, I understand why fans and people in the locker room were bothered by the comment he made regarding the talent on the film not seeming up to Auburn standards in the past. You know, that's something that does seem like, even if other people, including Hugh Freeze, have said similar things about the talent level of this team right now, yeah, that's a bit of a shot at the guys currently mm-hmm. wearing Auburn uniforms. I don't think it influences how this game plays out, and you know, I'm generally pretty skeptical of motivation as a factor in college football games.
That stuff wears off after a snap or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I think so too. But I can also see why it added a little bit more juice to this week. Although I think it's. I think it's stuff that plays to the Cal base as well. I'm sure it went over well in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree because, I mean, I can understand him saying that in a locker room environment where you're trying to motivate your teammates.
Wise to do it to the press. No.
Right.
You're right.
So, but that's all I got, guys. I appreciate it. I'll call you next week.
All right. It's good hearing from you. 334-321-1390.
I remember when Booby Whitlow said Oregon didn't even know what conference Oregon was in, right? Just totally dismissed him as a team. I think that was after the game when he said that.
Yeah, it's best to do that. We'll get another call before we get to our final break, and Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brett.
I heard earlier in the week that the center for Cal was it. Just got hurt or either was hurt. Have y'all heard that?
I had not. The only injury they seem to be the ones most concerning is obviously Jackson, their starting quarterback, yeah. who's one of the best athletes on their team. But I hadn't heard about the center.
Yeah, this was Zach Blackerby said this. I think I heard it Tuesday. Hmm. But that would certainly be a huge blow to them because their offensive line is the thing that they worry about.
Yeah, so Brian Driscoll was offensive lineman of the week in the Pac-12 this week, and he did start the game at left guard and then shifted to center when Matthew Sindrick left the game. And so I'll see if I can find out more about Sindrick's injury and whether or not he's going to be able to go on Saturday.
Okay. Let's see, Dan, since you lived out that way, how many people do you think will be on for Cal and Auburn at the game?
Like what kind of attendance?
Yeah.
You know, I it's tough to say. Like, I think there's it's a lot of Auburn people that are either making the trip or already live on the West Coast. It's a large Auburn club. But I don't know what. I don't know what that could mean attendance wise for a game at Cal. I'd be reluctant to even hazard a guess as to what the attendance looks like on Saturday.
Your guest was talking about when Tennessee went out there. I mean, was it half and half or 60-40 Cal or?
It was probably close to half and half, and I wouldn't be shocked. If it's something like that on Saturday night.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot,
Brett. What are you thinking Saturday? Like, well, you're plugged into this stuff. What are you expecting from the team on Saturday?
I think it'll be a close Auburn victory. I think
a lot of people around here are selling Cal short. Yeah, they were 4-7 last year, but my gosh, they lost 5 games by a touchdown or less. So I don't think they're horrible by any means, but, you know, but then the people who look at how much they scored against North Texas, well, my God, UAB, SMU, and all these other teams did that against them. So that's not really anything to, you know, bank on. So close victory by Auburn.
Great stuff, Brett. Appreciate it.
I'm there with you, Brett. Appreciate the call. We will get to our final break. Cendric, by the way, yeah, a sixth-year starter and one of the team captains for Cal. A six-year senior who's one of the team captains for Cal. So, I hadn't heard anything about him being out. I saw on the projected starting lineups he was still listed as a starter. So we'll just have to wait and see. And we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue here on the Thursday Drive.
Every day counts. Every minute matters. From